Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Much better. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Going to talk some NCAA, help you fill out your bracket here. And maybe if you want to, you know, just go game by game a little bit, some advice there too. Eli Hershkovich joining us from 670 The Score down in Chicago and also the Action Network. And the real wager you need to place on this is, what is the over-under for how many times he will call me Bark, which he's already tweeted at, because down at The Score, I'm known as Bark.
Why?
I don't know. Oh. They call me Bark. Eli, thanks for a couple minutes. How are you doing?
Hey, Eli.
Doing good, Bark and Chuck. One. So we're already checking that one off the list. I do not have Barry Rosner by my side, unfortunately, so you will not be getting called Bark more than once during this conversation.
All right, that is comforting to know.
All right, right up. You didn't waste any time.
No, and on Twitter, so the overhit on that one.
Let's go to these games here. Off the top, what do you like as your big upset special? I think people look at Irvine right off the top, or maybe Murray State or Marquette. Is there anything else that you see other than the ones that I just think that everybody generally falls in love with?
Yeah, let's talk some Big East ball. You guys brought up Marquette and Murray State. Want to get to that later on in the conversation, too. But Villanova, I think, is on high upset alert. In fact, if you want to take St. Mary's right now against the spread, the line has dropped down to around 5.5. So we're talking Villanova Lane, 5.5 points, and they were laying from the get-go about 7. The line jumped up from about 6 to 7 right off the jump. Mm-hmm. People favoring the Big East tournament title winners and the Big East regular season champs in the Villanova Wildcats. But this St. Mary's team, led by Ford, who's a really good point guard for the Gaels, especially off ball screens, dominated Gonzaga in that aspect of play. And rebounding the ball, too, is going to be a big factor in this one. The St. Mary's Gaels boast the 12th highest defensive rebounding rate. So when I'm talking about defensive rebounding rate, limiting opponents' offensive boards, and St. Mary's does that nearly as good as anybody in college basketball, a highly above-average rate in that metric. And they also defend the three well. We're talking about the 44th lowest three-point clip that St. Mary's and the Gaels allow. And Villanova thrives off threes, just like Marquette does. Both teams average and shoot the three, rely on the three more than a lot of teams across college basketball. The Big East is really known for that this season, and Villanova's three-point attempts have actually upticked to the most three-point attempts per game in the Jay Wright era. Now, I get people are going to want to back Jay Wright because, well, the Wildcats have won two out of the last three national titles, but this St. Mary's team is more than adept to knocking off a Villanova team that, again, relies on the three ball. And while Villanova wants to play at a slow pace, St. Mary's wants to play at arguably one of the slowest paces in the country. We're talking about the seventh slowest adjusted tempo, which is possessions per 40 minutes in college basketball. The Gaels are in really good shape, to me, to pulling off the upset win here. And just because of their three-point defense, which is something Villanova is more than willing to shoot consistently throughout that game.
Hirsch, I got a couple of upsets. Not a couple of upsets, but I got a couple of games for you. I wanted to see what you think. These aren't upsets. These are big spreads, but I actually like the favorite. Usually I don't like big favorites. I think Texas Tech is going to destroy Northern Kentucky, who's a terrible free throw shooting team. I've seen them play in the Horizon. Man, that's they are 14, but man, they should be a 19. I think Northern Kentucky's terrible. The worst conference champion in this whole thing. And another one I like is, I think Abilene Christian's going to get destroyed by Kentucky in the first game.
Yeah, I would bet on both of those as well. I'm with you there. I do not like laying the points in a lot of situations. Mm-hmm. I used to do that at the beginning of the season. I've been gambling on college basketball for, let's say, 2+ years before I was covering it more on the you know, media side of things rather than gambling on the games and covering it from that perspective. But with Texas Tech, getting punched in the mouth against West Virginia and coming back in that game We're talking about the Big 12 quarterfinals last week against the West Virginia team that nearly beat Kansas in the Big 12 semifinal, I believe it was. And you saw a West Virginia team just kind of lose its footing in the second half, playing with a little too much fire against a Jayhawks team that wants to push the tempo. But no, I have Texas Tech actually coming out of that region, and I think they come out right out of the gate and dominate a Northern Kentucky team that I do give more credit than you were talking about. Again, this team can shoot the three, and if they're able to hang with Texas Tech for the first 15 minutes of that game, maybe 10 minutes, the first chunk of the first half, then things might get interesting because Texas Tech is at its best when Jarrett Culver is aggressive and their offense gets rolling. We've seen stretches of games, and I know this is Northern Kentucky team that isn't a very good defensive team either, but we've seen stretches for Texas Tech before they got really hot in the latter part of Big 12 play where they struggled to score the ball for about a 4-6 minute stretch against Kansas State on the road, against Kansas on the road. They need to start off hot to dominate this game and cover the 14-point spread, but I would expect them to, although I will not be betting in Lane, the 14 points. And which was the other favorite that you had mentioned that you liked?
Kentucky?
Yeah, I would expect them to roll as well, especially after blowing out or nearly blowing out Tennessee for much of that second half. They're up 7 with 3 minutes to go, and then Grant Williams just starts hitting some big-time threes. The corner one from the right pocket was the game winner, essentially, for the Vols with just over a minute to go. The big thing is for Kentucky is how healthy is P.J. Washington, their sophomore forward, alongside Reed Travis, because he's had some injury issues, and Kentucky's been cautious with him over the last couple weeks, let's say. So if P.J. Washington isn't 100%, now I'm not saying that they won't cover the Abilene Christian spread. I think you look at bounce-back spots, which is situational spots for betting from that perspective, where you're trying to find that spot where a team is going to bounce back or get revenge, whatever the aspect of the situational spot may be, and this is a major bounce back spot for a Kentucky team. It's playing its first game off of the loss to Tennessee in the SEC tournament semifinal. I think they also roll here in the first round of the NCAAs.
Eli Hershkovich joining us here, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. As far as our teams, Marquette and Murray State's going to be an interesting one. Wisconsin and Oregon, I've been saying Wisconsin's going to be the easiest 5-12 upset of our time for about 2 to 3 months. So I've staked my reputation to the point where I'm almost rooting against Wisconsin because I want to be right so bad. Where do you see, or how do you see these 5-12 matchups going for Marquette and Bucky?
So I'm on the flip side of you. Are you, before I answer the question, I guess I kind of answered it somewhat, gave you a little tease. Are you on Murray State or Marquette?
I think I'm on Marquette. I was on both to lose, but I think I'm changing to Marquette. And then Wisconsin, I think, is going to get destroyed. But I'm in so deep on that I cannot change my mind, no matter how hard you might try to convince otherwise.
You know, it's kind of like, before I answer, so I'm going to give another tease here.
I also love Wisconsin. So, like, as a school, they're my team. And I
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're there. I get that. You got to have the rooting interest along with your Milwaukee Brewers love down in Chicago, which you know people just love hearing on Sunday mornings with Barry Rosner and Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, that's a tease.
That is a tease of a lifetime. But so it's kind of like my Auburn thing. I have Auburn going to the Final Four, and I've said it on too many radio hits and too many TV things where I'm kind of at the point of no return. I've locked it up, Auburn, making the Final Four, whether I like it at this point or not. I've convinced myself to like it enough. Not that I don't think it'll happen. I actually do really like Auburn, which I want to get to later on. So my third tease in the last 3 minutes, I probably should stick to the Wisconsin first-round matchup with Oregon. So with that game, you know, I was at Oregon going back to the Pac-12 title game, and Washington's offense, man, you want to talk about trash basketball. 2 points in 10 minutes against Oregon, the matchup for Wisconsin in the 5-12 matchup of the South region, top right half of your bracket. And watching that second half, again, Oregon's defense has played better over their last 8 games, going on the run of the Pac-12 tournament to get that automatic bid. More than likely, you had one team coming out of the region or two with Arizona getting the play-in game. Oregon's defense is sound up front with Lewis King, another 5-star guy, to go along with Bobo, who's obviously out for the season. wasn't able to play through the foot injury. You usually see that a lot with 7'6" guys. Yao Ming, for instance, just going back to his days with the Rockets, guys that just can't play with that bigger frame because it's too much on the lower half of the body to exert that much effort over even a 25-30 minute stretch for an 18-year-old. But for Wisconsin and what Oregon has to offer right now, you think about Ethan Happ. You know, I do an Action Colleges podcast on the Action Network, and one of my co-hosts yesterday, let's call him out, because we all have our own opinions, and I respect everybody's on the podcast. He compared Ethan Happ to Luke May, which I cannot go along with by any means. I think Oregon's front court, while they do have a really good shot blocking front court led by King, and their defense has been much better, especially against, again, a Washington team that can't really score the ball, score 2 points off a transition dunk in 10 minutes to begin that second half. I think Oregon's defense is a little bit overrated coming into this game, and I also think Wisconsin is undervalued coming into this matchup, because you go back to the Michigan State game in the Big Ten semifinal, and what happened in that matchup? Wisconsin could not finish around the rim for their lives when they had good looks in the second half to nearly 3-point line against Michigan State in that same matchup. Wisconsin, everyone keeps telling me Wisconsin can't shoot the three. Has anyone looked at their stats when they say this? Because Wisconsin is shooting the 66th highest 3-point clip in the country, and Trice, Davison, and Reavers can all stretch the floor. They just couldn't hit. So that one matchup for me, I feel like, is deterring people. And for the 5-12 matchups in general, if we're talking over the last 3 years, the 12s have gone 6-5-1 against the spread. We're not even talking outright. We're talking covering. So you're just making money depending on how many units you're betting against the spread on those 12s. I like Wisconsin here, number one, to win this game outright. Well, they're favored, so I guess if you're betting against the spread, unless you're taking money line, you are picking them to win outright in your bracket as well. I like them to make the Elite Eight, and I know Bark, you're going to be jumping out of your seat. As soon as I said that, I'm sure you did. I like them to beat Virginia in the Sweet 16. These teams play at similar paces.
Eli.
And yes.
You like Wisconsin to beat Virginia?
Yes. Yes, ooh. I do. And March is about upsets, right? I'm not just taking this because
I've been filling out my bracket based on everything you've been saying, and then you just said Wisconsin's going to beat Virginia.
Oh man,
yeah. Trashing it,
man!
Wow, that is some harsh commentary to your boy,
Eli,
back to Chicago.
I'll tell you,
Elite Eight, Wisconsin.
Listen. If you go back to the non-conference tournament when Wisconsin and Virginia matched up, Wisconsin was within two possessions of that game. These are two mirror images of one another. And I get it, Wisconsin's offense is not on the level of Virginia's this season. All right, the Hoos offense this year under Tony Bennett, the best offense Virginia has ever had under Tony Bennett, to go along with their tremendous pack line defense. Their defense has not regressed by any means in that manner. So Virginia's on another level this year. But when Virginia, similar to Wisconsin, when they play at such a slow pace that it's hard to make up a deficit. Now, against when you're playing as a mirror image of yourself, you can't come back because Wisconsin also plays at a slower pace. But when Virginia isn't hitting their threes, we're talking about a team going back to the Florida State game in the ACC tournament's quarterfinals. We saw Virginia not be able to make up that deficit because they couldn't hit threes and because they limit their own possessions by playing at such a slow and sluggish adjusted tempo. So I understand what you're saying, that the matchup and the upset sounds crazy there, but Wisconsin's 3-point defense has been pretty sound as well. If you look at it, they gave up in Big Ten play the fourth lowest 3-point clip and the 10th lowest among 14 teams, 10th lowest scoring rate from three. This Wisconsin team matches up pretty well against Virginia. So hit out all you want, Bark. So that's, I think we've hit the
okay.
Over now on Barks.
All right.
In the show.
I'm going to come
no
to,
more Barks.
I'm going to come back to Barks' rescue here on
no,
this.
No, 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 no. Don't make that a thing.
No. I'm going to come to you. The one thing you haven't mentioned here is their best player can't hit a free throw to save his life. Ethan Happ, if it gets into a tight game, Wisconsin can't beat anybody with their, they have a limited shelf life if Ethan Happ can't make a free throw.
No, you're right about that. I'm not going to deny the fact that Happ has been dreadful from the line. He was shooting like 30%. I think this was 2 weeks ago. 30% in his last 10 games. And it's gotten even worse since then. So the guy's worse than Shaq. And Shaq was bad watching at the line. Happ's form actually looks decent. But guy just can't hit the free throw. We've seen Greg Gard being willing to take Ethan Happ out of a game, and I know you could say that could hurt Wisconsin's chances late in the game, but Reavers is not the worst defensive guy that you want him there, and then you could sub Ethan Happ back in on defense, and then you sub him out on the switch offensively, assuming you have a lead. Now, if you don't have a lead, it's different to play around with, and teams could still hack a Happ and limit your chances to come back in the game. I don't think it comes down to that, though. I understand that Ethan Happ's free throw struggles have been well documented. I get that. But to me, if Wisconsin and Virginia match up, this comes down to a possession-by-possession basis where, again, Wisconsin's defense, the third lowest adjusted defensive efficiency in the country. And again, that's a good rate. Like, that's the third best defense on a possession-by-possession basis for 100 possessions in college basketball.
Not that I care, because you took Wisconsin to the Elite Eight, so I don't... But who do you got winning it all, Eli?
I have Michigan State winning it all.
Mm.
I have Sparty beating Duke
in the
Elite Eight there. I like the matchups for Michigan State defensively. Nick Ward's hairline fracture has actually given Izzo his better defensive lineup, probably his better lineup overall, putting Xavier Tillman at that four spot. And then going back, you know, just because we haven't talked about the Murray State and Marquette matchup, I want to get back to that for just one second. The Marcus Howard wrist injury for me is the deciding factor, because we saw an elite defender when Marcus Howard's wrist was off, and presumably that was the issue, because shooting 1 of 15 is not Marcus Howard like, even against a really good on-ball defender. But you saw what Quincy McKnight, the point guard of Seton Hall, or at least one of their primary ball handlers and one of the better on-ball defenders on that Pirates team, could do to Marcus Howard when he's limited with that wrist, with his shooting wrist. John Morant is going to be guarding Marcus Howard, along with Shaq Buchanan from Murray State in that backcourt. Two really good on-ball defenders for the Racers. Murray State gives up the fourth lowest three-point clip in college basketball. I expect them to control the tempo and win this game against Marquette outright. They rely too much on the three against an elite three-point defense for me to feel comfortable with Marquette, especially the way they're playing, losing five out of the last six games.
All right, we're going to have to talk next week, so we'll see what happens this weekend. Eli, we will be in touch. Appreciate your time, and we will talk soon. We'll see if we can still talk Badgers or not.
Thanks, Hirsch.
Yeah, thank you guys. So, you know, it's been a blast talking college basketball, of course, with you, Chuck, and not so much with you, Bart.
Fantastic. Eli Hershkovich. Thanks, Eli.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.